Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark, and I wish you all a Merry Christmas. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, today, I'm going to welcome back a young lesbian minister, dynamic speaker, and talented teacher by the name of Reverend Abigail Scherer. She is known for her practical advice and her study of spiritual masters from all the great religions. She believes we are all part of the human race, here to help create the life God intended us to have, one of absolute fun, complete abundance, and freedom. Her vision is to transform the planet by helping people awaken to their own magnificence and tap into their own connection with the divine. She founded the Center for Spiritual Living Peninsula, affiliated with Centers for Spiritual Living, in August of 2012, a year after graduating from the Holmes Institute of Consciousness Studies with her master's degree. Additionally, she successfully founded Sister Spirit Women's Retreat in 2008 and continues to be the facilitator of this annual transformative retreat. She recently left her career in development at Stanford University to pursue ministry full-time and to live as the example for people to follow their dreams. And isn't that an example that we all can emulate? There's no reason that we cannot do that, cannot follow our dreams, but sometimes we need to be inspired by the example of others. And Abigail is one of those people. And with that said, I'm going to welcome her. Abigail, how are you today? Can you hear me, Abigail? Let me try again. Sometimes there's some technical difficulties. I'm going to try to bring Abigail live, and hopefully
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can now. How are you?
I'm wonderful, David.
I'm great. I am great. Merry Christmas Eve.
Yes, Merry Christmas Eve. What a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yes, and such a beautiful time of the year that we can recreate in our hearts each step of the way when we remember that we are aligned with the Christ light or divine spark that is but a flicker of the source of our beings. However people want to perceive that, it's not necessary to believe in anything except the fact that there is some greater part of the whole that we are all part of. And for some people, that's all they can do, and that's okay, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I love the fact that you have studied all the different spiritual masters of the great world religions. I have been an ardent proponent of the fact that there are many paths to God, And I've taken issue in the past with so-called Christians that profess that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Not that that is not a way, because it certainly is a wonderful way to align with God, but to discount anybody else's spiritual beliefs or religions, I believe, is the only thing that is a sin.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's interesting. First of all, sin is an old archery term that means to miss a mark. And I really love that.
Me too.
I also really, I love this time of year because it has, it's a season of light. And interestingly enough, most major religions have an honoring at this time of year to the light. And I actually have in front of me Ernest Holmes' word for Christ, his definition for the Christ. And Ernest Holmes was the founder of Science of Mind, which is where I am ministry at Centers for Spiritual Living. And he said that the word of God is manifest in and through man. That is the Christ. Christ is a universal idea, and each one of us puts on the Christ to the degree that he surrenders a limited sense of life to the divine realization of wholeness and unity. So to me, that means every time we recognize wholeness and unity, then we are putting on the Christ. We are being Christ-like. And that could be anybody. It doesn't have to be. It could be somebody who's completely non-religious but has an acceptance of all of the diversity that shows up in life and an honoring of how it shows up. So,
well, that is a wonderful way of looking at it. And it's interesting. I love Ernest Holmes and Science of the Mind. I was introduced to him nearly 40 years ago, and it started my illumination as I was becoming more and more open and receptive to diversity, not just in terms of the human experience, but in terms of spiritual experience, and finding my way to becoming a mystic and opening my way to receiving spiritual gifts that I'm so grateful for. I am wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your pathway to the ministry. We won't cover a lot of the ground that we covered the last time in terms of your growing up years and that sort of thing, but I'm wondering what your call was to serve in this fashion, and if you could tell us a little bit about that, that would be great.
Well, I think that when I first walked into the doors of my first Center for Spiritual Living church, I recognized that there was something there that I hadn't had in my former religion. And my former religion was Methodism, which is a great, beautiful religion. I just didn't exactly align with some of the teachings. For instance, I didn't believe in hell, and I didn't believe that a loving God would also be a condemning God. And that just... So for many different Christian paths, there is no reconciling of that. And whenever I walked into Centers for Spiritual Living, I found out that there was a place very similar to Unity and Divine Science where all of the religious truths, the common thread that runs through all of them, that is what's taught. And I really felt at home, and I thought at that time, maybe someday, you know, when I'm retiring, I'll become a minister. But really, what happened, you know, like someday in the future, right?
Yeah.
And
you planted
what really
seed.
Happened, huh? I did plant
you
seed.
You planted seed that sprouted quickly.
Right? Yeah. God has a funny sense of humor. I ended up going to a conference. I became a practitioner at the center, and the practitioner is kind of like a lay minister where we do spiritual counseling, spiritual prayer. But then one day I went to this conference, and it was the New Thought Conference, the AGMT conference, to put it as, the Association of Global New Thought. And I didn't know, but pretty much only ministers went to that conference. And I was surrounded by all of these people that stirred me and moved me and spoke to my heart and my soul and talked about a new paradigm of a world where love is the norm, where being kind to each other is where our work is, and really surrendering to a higher idea and having a belief that something bigger can happen. And I was so inspired by all of these ministers at this conference that I went ahead and entered into ministerial school thinking, well, it'll just, you know, it's a 3 to 5 year program. It'll probably take me 5 years. And it didn't. It took me 3. And I just kept going. Everything in my life keeps falling into place in a way that is really brilliant and kind of awe-inspiring. Not just kind of, but really awe-inspiring. And what I really love is that I have the ability as a minister to lift people up, to reflect back to each individual what their light is, and to assist people in being empowered to take on their own life in a way that's inspiring and motivating for them so they can do whatever is great for them. So it's not really about me. It's about me uplifting other people. And whenever I see somebody uplifted, I just know I've done my job. It's a good day. It's very fulfilling for me.
Well, we are all mirrors to each other. And so it's very important for us to put forth the image that we want to have reflected in that mirror. Because it will be reflected back to us. And likewise, we mirror what goes on in the physical world and spiritual world, which are two very different realms. I was thinking in terms of your speaking of light earlier, how we're moving from this time of more darkness to more light. And as part of our human journey, we need to move from the world of shadows into the one of light. And how can we embrace the shadow side of ourselves, or those parts of ourselves that we may have judged as bad, or that we may have judged as missing the mark, so that we can live in a place fully expressing godlike qualities?
Yeah, this is really important at this time of year. I know that there's a lot of sadness and a lot of sorrow. A lot of people, for some reason, choose to leave this earth plane at this time of year, and or people have had a lot of loss. And there's just a lot of, while the songs are cheerful and happy, there's a lot of difficulty and challenge. And I think it's a perfect time to really look inside of ourselves and find the areas where we don't love ourselves and practice forgiveness techniques so that we can reincorporate those aspects that we have alienated of ourselves. You know, nobody's perfect. We all have our bad days. We all, you know, have our judgments. But finding out that even I am somebody worthwhile, and even you are somebody worthwhile, every single person is worthwhile, to look within and find the love for yourself is the most beautiful thing you can do, and that's where you relight your fire, reignite your fire. So I think this is a perfect time of year to do rituals, and especially forgiveness rituals, like writing down all of the things that you've been judging yourself for and writing it down on a piece of paper and then burning it in the fire, you know, in the fireplace, and allowing that to be a symbolic release of those things that you do not cherish about yourself, and really letting them go and forgiving yourself for having judged yourself, for not being perfect, whatever you think perfect is, and choosing to make a new expression in your life where you can love yourself even if you've made mistakes, even if you've missed the mark because of your humanity. It's okay. You can actually be an incredible, spiritual, divine, holy being even if you've made mistakes and you've judged people and you've, you know, cursed at people when you've been driving. If you turn within and recognize that you're not perfect like that, but that is perfection. And if you can love yourself through all of that, then you can start loving people to a greater degree. Because I know for me, the things that I get mad at people about are the things that I don't like about myself. And so it's always whatever's going on out there is really a reflection of what's going on inside. And so I think that this is a perfect time of year to take on that idea of forgiveness and really, really work through it, really letting that go in order to welcome a new idea of love, a new idea of acceptance in your life. Because if you can accept yourself, you're going to do a better job accepting everybody else too.
That's wonderful. I have a perfect song by a New Thought singer by the name of Jennifer Farron that is called Throw It All Away. And I'd like to play that now as a vehicle for people to let go of whatever does not serve them. So here is Throw It All Away by Jennifer Farron.
Trauma that can come from
that was the wonderful Jennifer Farron. What do you think about her lighthearted approach to letting go of things that don't serve you?
I love that. Just throw it all
away. Great?
Yeah.
I like the fact that she speaks without and sings without shame when she talks about those so-called, without judgment, I mean, when she talks about those so-called wasted years of shame, because so many of us get hung up in what we perceive to be failures and forget that those are our greatest learning vehicles. And if we think that we've wasted those years, they really are rich soil for us to learn and grow from. And I think it's so important for us not to judge ourselves or any aspects of our past. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. I think the challenge or the opportunity is to look at our past and see those so-called failures and so-called, you know, breakups or, you know, big issues that happened in the past and find out what the gifts were in them. And I believe that when we can do that, we can really grow to the next level of our own personal evolution. It, you know, if it weren't for those challenges, we would not have certain things in our life. And once we start looking at those gifts, really accepting and embodying the gifts, then we can transform that thing that looked like a terrible experience into something positive and take it forward into the world.
What would you say to people who perceive themselves as going through a struggle?
My first words would be to be gentle with yourself and to be kind on yourself. And I think the next thing would definitely be to find times to breathe through it and then look at that experience that you're having and literally find something good that is coming out of it. Because everything, every single circumstance will have something good that's coming out of it. And it may be, you know, like if you're having a challenge with a boss, it may be that it's giving you clarity on what you want in your next job. You know, it could be as simple as that. And regardless of whatever the situation is, imagine it as if you chose it. As if you chose to have that experience come into your life. And if you chose it, then what kind of gifts would it be bringing you? And find those gifts in that situation. And I'm not saying that it's easy. It's just, it can transform your whole experience of this difficult situation into something that is not so challenging, or is at least has some reward as you're going through it, instead of only seeing the challenge. That's what I would
say. Yeah, I do like the word challenge better than struggle, because we are challenged in this life to improve and to grow and to transform. And I love the way you use the word imagine, because I think that we oftentimes lose sight of the precious imagination that we may have most probably had as children. I think of the song, "When You Wish Upon a Star, Your Dreams Come True," and how as a child, I not only imagined, but I believed that could happen. And then I came into a period of disillusionment along the way and wondered why I was struggling, wondered why all of this pain was coming at me. And you live as an example for people to follow their dreams. So what words of wisdom would you impart to people to help them believe in their dreams, that they can indeed live them? And how can they do that?
I would say that each and every person has gifts we were like packaged with different gifts. And your gift is a gift for you to share with the world, which means that whatever talents and skills and gifts that you have, they're not yours, actually, because they're really meant to serve into the world. Like, I could be great at drawing, for instance, but if I never draw, then it's never going to be, you know, I'm not tapping into that resource that was given to me. And if I don't, you know, give my drawings away or draw for other people or do things in a way that is beneficial, then I'm not sharing my gift with the world. So if you feel like you're in a dead-end place or you're not following your dreams, then the first thing to do would be find what you're passionate about and start cultivating that in your life, whatever it is. I mean, everybody was given something, everybody. So you're not worthless. You may just be on a path that is not in alignment with what you're really meant to do, right? So I would definitely recommend for people to follow their passion. And as you follow your passion more and more, things will start lining up for you that are unexpected and in alignment with your greatest joy. So, like, for instance, I love doing ministry, and I went to Peru. I think I told you about this last time. I went to Peru in 2011, and I got inspired to start my own spiritual center, an offshoot of Centers for Spiritual Living. And at that time, I, again, was thinking, well, this is something way in the future. You know, like, oh, someday I'd like to do this thing, right? But I started speaking about it. I started telling people that I knew I felt safe with, that I knew would nurture me and would help me. And so that would be the second thing I'd recommend, is find a group of people that believe in you and are willing to lift you up whenever you're, you know, going out into that area where you don't even know anything about, because that's scary. And I found this, I started telling people that I knew and loved, and people started contributing money to me, and in such a way that I realized I had to start doing it now. And so I went ahead and started my own spiritual center, and lo and behold, I had to quit my job and because I needed to do my work full-time. I've been called forth into doing this full-time, and everything is working out. I mean, I'm kind of in awe. I'm sort of in the leap of faith still. I'm like, okay, I can't believe it's really happening, but it is, and it's beautiful. And I just really want everybody to know that it's possible if you're willing to surrender to the way that it happens and allow God or spirit or the universe to guide you to the right and perfect steps, and then to take those steps when they're offered for you. You know, I didn't have to accept money to help start off the center, but because if I accepted the money, that would mean that I'd actually be committed to doing the thing that's really scary but exciting. And I did it, and it's really wonderful. So I would say for one, find your passion. Two, surround yourself with a group of people that are going to support you in being courageous. And three, start taking steps and being courageous. And also recognizing, as you said before, you know, sometimes you might not exactly succeed in the way you thought you would, but it's just a stair step to the next thing. Like, maybe it's just that one little thing you needed to learn in order for you to be absolutely successful in your life. So looking at every challenge as an opportunity to increase your knowledge and your skills in order to reach your dream.
Well, a central theme of your message seemed to be service. And what I've come to see in my life is that there can be such great joy that comes from serving my fellow men and women. And it's a form of sacrifice or letting go of self in order to open up to the larger experience of selflessness, where I'm not bound by my ego, and I feel part of the whole, and I feel as if I'm contributing to something. And I think that that is such an important thing and demonstration that you've made with your life in terms of opening yourself up to the spirit and being of assistance to those in need. And I really, really commend you for that.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I don't want to dwell on, but I put forward today that you are a dynamic young lesbian minister who has an affirming message for all, and you're very out there as far as your sexuality goes, but that's just a label, like so many other things that we attach to ourselves that can be limiting. But it's part of the gift of our humanity, and it's part of the gift of our diversity. And I'm wondering what message you would deliver to people who feel diminished in some way because of their differences, because of their sexuality, their race, their gender, whatever it may be, their career. You know, there's so many different ways that we can diminish ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, and there is a lot of that going on right now. So I think that the most important thing to do would be to find the people that are your community, because no matter what, you have community. And a lot of people think that they're alone. I know that teenage suicide is huge for you know, LGBT people, and it's and they're the same thing for the race happenings that are going on right now, the absolute the injustice that really is happening on the planet. It's totally, to me, it's heartbreaking. And I also want everybody to know that, number one, God is everywhere present, the infinite one, the one that is all-encompassing love, like love, permanent, forever and ever. There is no, there's nothing wrong. God doesn't see anything wrong with anybody. And so that means it's just pure love, which means that there is a place you could be right now in the midst of pure love. And so even if you don't have an outside community that you know about, there's a community of God that is within you. So if you look within and you just ask for and tap into the love, I can guarantee you that the infinite one is bigger than any of these challenges that are happening right now in your life. And also, as you tap in and you find the love that's within yourself, to be courageous and to find the people who are out there, because I'm part of a huge community of people that are wholly accepting, and find that group of people that are going to realize that whatever your difference is, you are a child of the Most Beloved. You are a child of God, and you're worthy and worthwhile. And I think that that's really, really important for each and every person to see or to know about themselves. You know, like if you're an African-American man who's a gay man in a community that's not accepting, go find the community that is accepting. And it doesn't have to be of your race or your gender or your sexual orientation. There is going to be people out there that are seeking you because they want to see you for who you really are. And that's what I want you to know, is that you're not alone. There's a group of people out there waiting for you. And on top of that, you don't even have to find them. All you need to do is find God, find the universe, spirit, love, whatever you want to call it. Find that thing within yourself that is absolutely loving you for who you are.
Well, I think you nailed a really important theme connected to positive experience, and that is to surround yourself with positive and affirming people, whether or not they're like you or not, people that can raise you up, that can affirm you as a beloved child of God. And I think that if more of us did that, we would feel more a part of the whole. What do you think?
I agree. If we could see through those eyes, you know, like if every day I woke up and every person I saw, I just thought, wow, this is a child of God. Wow, this is a child of God. This is a child of God. And we're all children of the divine. We are of the Most High. We're made of the Most High. We're made of God stuff. And we're sacred and we're holy. And if I could treat each and every person that I meet like that, and you could, and the world could, what a beautiful world we would be living in. Beautiful world.
Well, you've spoken mostly of love. You spoke of forgiveness earlier in the show, and you also spoke about injustice. And I think of the great Master Jesus, who talked about those things. The central message seemed to be that of love, combined with the need to forgive anything that was not loving. And he also spoke up to the injustices of the day. And I'm wondering today what we can do from a starting point of ourselves with overcoming injustice, with achieving peace for the world. What can we as individuals do to create peace, not just within ourselves, but on Earth? And of course, we need to create it within ourselves first.
Yes. Well, I would say prayer, number one. Quantum physics has proven that prayer works. Like, a particle in one part of the universe can be affected in another part of the universe simultaneously, like instantaneously, it can be affected. And there have been studies on prayer where if we put a group of people put their intention out there, then you can actually change conditions happening on the planet. And they've had studies done with prayer and water, studies done with prayer and people who are sick or ill. And so literally, you not even going out and doing anything, you can still make an impact if you say a prayer every day, knowing and accepting and feeling the peace and allowing it to just spread all over the planet, just seeing that and accepting it and knowing that this is the truth of what's happening in our world. And as the more and more of us do that, then things will happen. Life will literally make a physical impact on the world. Now, that's step one. I also encourage anybody who can to be that peace. So wherever you go, if you're going to be going out, being at the grocery store, in your local area, be the peace of the world and create that sense of peacefulness everywhere you go, especially when you see challenge and difficulty. You get to be the light, right? You get to be the one that lights up the world. So while there's challenge and difficulty maybe going on in your family or going on out in the world, you get to be the one who is the chosen one to bring peace into the world. And so, and I take this on myself. I'm not just saying you. I'm saying this is what I do. And then the other thing is to make an impact. I mean, we need to create some laws, create some structures and you know, changes in the government that are in alignment with having equality for all humanity. And so it shouldn't matter your gender or your race or, you know, your sexual orientation. Finding ways that you can impact the world and impact our laws, our government, so that we can have a tangible manifestation of that, it will be very, very impactful. So I would say there's things you can do locally, there's things you can do within our country, and there's things that you can do globally too. I mean, there's a lot of peace projects that are out there in the world that are creating a conscious sense of peace in the world and finding out what those projects are and getting in alignment with those too is another way you can reach out globally. So there are many, many ways, and I encourage you to do all of them. But if you don't, I'd say that the one thing that I would really encourage you to do is to pray, because that has a huge impact.
What would you say to somebody who says, Reverend, how do I pray? I don't know. I don't know how to do it.
Well, I have to say, number one, God doesn't care how you pray. So there is no right or wrong way. It's mostly your intention. However, with that said, I would encourage you to pray in a way that is affirmative. So instead of, I think a lot of people, at least I was when I was growing up, were taught to beg and beseech God as if there is, you know, God is withholding gifts, and if I beg hard enough, then God will give me the goodies, right? But that's not the way that God works, or spirit, or universe, whatever you call the infinite one. It works in alignment with a felt sense, a knowingness. So, for instance, if you want to pray for peace, you can imagine peace. You can think about things that make you peaceful and affirm that God, if God created those peaceful things, then God is creating the peace on the planet. And so you accept it as if it were. So instead of putting the prayer away from you, you're accepting the prayer within you. So I choose peace in my life, right? Saying something in affirmation.
Yes. I believe it's important to take anything that is a quality and affirm it for the highest good and hold it in that light and claim it to be present in the now, because there is only now. We perceive time in a linear fashion, but all is happening at once. And it's important to not just put it out there or believe it to be true. I like the fact that you used the word know, to know in your heart that this is the truth. You know, whatever else you may have learned in the past about things not happening is a lie. You can make things happen. Each and every one of us can. And we need to get involved in life in order to do that. In some level, even if it's just leading a spiritual life in a cloister as a nun, we need to put our energy into serving the highest good for all. What do you think about that?
Yes, I'm completely in alignment with everything you just said. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, likewise, it's nice to have a guest that I feel aligned with, and those seem to be the types of guests that I've been attracting lately. So that's wonderful, because my very first guest was a fundamentalist. And we were not in alignment on a lot of notes, but we were on a lot of others. And I think that that's the one thing that when we get into a place where we're feeling conflict with another, where we're feeling judgment with another, that we need to let go and find that common ground, the common threads that weave the tapestry of which we're all a part of. What would you do to encourage people to see that light in another person and let go of the differences that we might experience?
Well, I'd say there's a couple of things. One is finding out or putting yourself in their shoes is always a good experience. You know, a lot of people feel like they're only thinking from their own perspective instead of putting themselves in somebody else's shoes. Like, wow, you know, maybe if my mom died, I would, you know, be feeling really angry and ragey right now, which is why this person is, you know, being upsetting. So, you know, okay, maybe I can be more compassionate towards that person. But oftentimes we don't know what the other person has gone through or what's going on. And so I always assume the best out of each and every person I meet. And if I assume the best, even when the situation is challenging, I can assume that that person is doing the best they can with what they know how at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever I can do to love them through this, if I'm having a conflict, through the conflict, then I want to do it, you know? I want to find how can I be a loving presence in the world even if I don't agree with this person. And I agree. I think the key is finding the commonalities. And even if you don't find the commonality, find something that you can use to be compassionate about for them. You know, they're if you need to make up your own story, you know, like, and if you make up your own story about why they're doing what they're doing, if you make up a story that makes you feel better about them, then do it. You know, whatever it is that makes you feel more compassionate and more loving towards the other individual is the key. But if you're talking with them, I would definitely agree with you.
You just hit on something very important that I've never explored on this program, and that is rewriting life scripts. We can do that for ourselves, too. For instance, if we came from an abusive home, we can rewrite the life scripts of our parents to see how they are just wounded children that we can love and that they did the best that they could do. We can rewrite those things that have caused us pain and trauma. We can burn those bridges and let go of them, but sometimes it takes work. It oftentimes takes work. And I believe that I am moving in a forward direction, but in order for me to have done so, I've had to let go of a lot of the baggage of my past, and that has taken work. What do you think about rewriting life scripts?
Oh, I think it's beautiful. I mean, this is really, really good work because a lot of the times our actions are based on how we felt about the past. And so whatever situation is happening currently might be triggering something that happened in the past. So if you rewrite your script about what happened in the past, you let it go, you create a new story for yourself that isn't one of hurt and trauma, you create a great story for yourself, then when that similar situation erupts, then your trigger doesn't get triggered. So you don't get hooked in the same way. It's a great thing. I actually did this with Jean Houston. I had a great day-long workshop with Jean Houston, and she did a whole exercise on going back into our past and rewriting our past. And the idea is that if you decide to create a new past for yourself, then you rewrite your future. So you don't act in the same way because you haven't had that past anymore, and you have a new past. And this new past, you have been empowered. And if you're an empowered person, then whatever, you know, the situation that's coming at you now, you come at differently because now you're coming at it as an empowered person instead of one who was a victim. And it changes everything. So,
well, that sounds like the way to freedom. It sounds like the way to eliminate fate, which is what happens to victims who do not break free.
I haven't heard that, but that's a good one. I like it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's amazing how the time is flying because there are so many things that I want to talk to you about, which means I'm going to have you back again. But
I love it.
I was thinking earlier in the program about how we've created deities out of people that we've respected, out of religious leaders like Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, Confucius, all of these different wise individuals who were illuminated. And since today we are focusing on the celebration of Jesus' birth, I'm wondering what we can do to let go of deifying someone that started out the same way we all do, as a little baby, and embrace the humanity within that person as well as the divinity in that person as we do the same for ourselves.
You know, I do a prayer every day for myself, and in that prayer, I know that there's people that are alive and who have passed away that I really admire. And I know that God created those people, and God created me, and everything that's possible within those people is possible within me. I mean, even Jesus said, all these things ye shall do and more, right? And so in my prayers, this is just my personal thing, I identify the people that I admire, and then I say, all these things that these people have that I admire, all these qualities, are within me as well. And then I feel absolute gratitude for God for knowing that these amazing qualities of transformation, of abilities to heal and to uplift people in the world, that those same qualities are within me. And that's my own daily practice that I do to acknowledge the fact that there are some great masters that have been on the planet, that are currently on the planet, and that I get to be part of that expression. And each person is a part of that expression. So it's not me and not somebody else. It's me and everybody else. But if we can, again, if we each take that on for ourselves, recognizing that we are of the Most High, made of God stuff, and that we have qualities that are here to help things and shift and uplift the world, then we can be just as all of those people that we've, you know, spoken about, we can be just as great as them. And it doesn't have to show up in the history books. For me, it just needs to show up in the fact that I know that I've made a difference. I've made an impact. I've helped somebody. And if I've helped somebody, I know I've done my job, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Well, God doesn't make junk. He only creates treasures, and we all are treasures. And I believe affirmation is such an important thing to do, be it in prayer or just in terms of affirming ourselves and those qualities that we may not believe that we possess. Put it forth as if you possess them now and claim it. And it will become yours. It takes time. It takes time and a lot of work. I asked the Reverend to give a brief meditation as we close the program today. And if you're willing to do that now, if you would look at your watch and time yourself for 4 minutes, I would love to be honored with a meditation from you at this time of the year.
Sure. Did you want me to do a meditation and a closing prayer, or just a meditation?
The closing prayer too, please. We have 5 minutes.
Okay. So wherever you're at, just settle in and just take in a deep breath. And let go of anything that has happened prior to this moment, and just become present and aware to your breathing, breathing deeply. And I'd like you to just imagine any challenges or difficulties that you've had, any people maybe who might be challenging to you, and I'd like you to place them or those situations in a box in front of you. In your mind's eye, just put a box in front of you and place those people, places, or circumstances in that box. And now what I'd like you to do is imagine for a moment that you have a ball of white light right in the core of your being, a ball of white, warm light. And I'd like you to just imagine that that ball of white warm light is pure love. So think about maybe a person that you love deeply, or maybe it's an animal. Anything that cultivates that absolute warm, fuzzy feeling. And I'd like you to expand that ball of light inside your body, allow it to go up, up through your head, through your arms, down through your legs, and just feel enveloped by that warm ball of love. And I'd like you to send that love down your feet, down into the earth, and just give some love and appreciation for this thing that you walk on, that grows plants and crops that you eat. Just feel some gratitude for this earth. And then feel that same love, that warm light coming back up from the earth, from the molten core in the middle of the earth, into your feet, grounding you, and up through your body again, out through the top of your head, out into the sky. And then feel that same infinite love pouring down in through you from the infinite one, pouring down through you. And as you feel this love pouring through you, just imagine it expanding past your skin, past your body, and feeling that white light envelop that box that you had. Watch it be emblazoned. Notice that the box transforms, that everything in it that was dark and challenging is touched by the light, by that love, and that you don't have to do the work, that that infinite one is pouring through you, pouring this light into this box. And go ahead and reach out and take that box and place it back into your heart. And know that each and every person and situation has been transformed by this love, by this light. And so go ahead and let go of any attachments or resentments. Just let it go. And now just feel the complete love and light. And so knowing now, in this present moment, that God is everywhere present in each and every being listening on this call, listening on the airwaves, that we are all connected to this love and light, and that it absolutely transforms. And so I know and claim that this day has been a day of transformation, and so I welcome the light, the Christ light, into my body, into my beingness. Knowing that I am a stand for light and love on this planet, and that I choose to make a difference. And so I know that God is guiding to the right and perfect actions and people and places, so I may be the light in this world, so I may express it through everything that I speak, say, and do. And I know, as this is true for me, this is true for everybody listening, that we are the light here, come to be, welcome the Christ light. And so as I welcome that into my heart, into my life, I know that I cannot help but express it everywhere I go. And I just celebrate this day, knowing it is indeed good. It is a blessed, blessed day of Christ, the Christmas Eve. Thank you, God. Thank you, universe, for this honor, for this presence, for this beingness. I know it is holy. It is sacred. It is good. And I accept it, embody it, know it's already done. And I just say thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We came out exactly to the end of the hour, but we're being recorded now. So that was perfect timing. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a fruitful ministry until we meet again. And
thank you, David.
I will look forward to having you back on the show again.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, so once again we come to close. Merry Christmas. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.